The wildfire raging in eastern Arizona is moving fast toward New Mexico. It's the second largest wildfire in Arizona's history. The smoke has drifted into Colorado, Nebraska, and up to Iowa. Thousands of people have fled their homes, and some 2,500 firefighters are trying to contain the blaze. We've reached Jim Wilkins, a public information officer for the firefighting effort in Springerville, Arizona, where residents have been put under a pre-evacuation notice. Mr. Wilkins, thanks for being with us today.
You know, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
And this is known as the Wallow Fire there in eastern Arizona. Talk a bit about the size and intensity, please.
You know, this fire is 380,000 plus acres. It's been growing by 80 to 100,000 acres at a time. The burning conditions here are as volatile as some of the firefighters ever remember seeing. We're getting fire spotting up to 3 miles ahead of the fire.
And when you say fire spotting, what do you mean?
Well, as the fire burns, embers go up into the column of air, and they're thrown by the wind forward into the unburned area. The brush and the grass and the trees here are so dry that an ember falling into that grass or brush has a 98% chance of starting a fire. And so far, we haven't put any numbers up on our side of the scoreboard. We're still at 0% containment.
0% containment. So does that mean that there's really no way to fight it from above, say, with air tankers or helicopters?
You know, we have been when we could. There is so much smoke and so many particulates that at times we have zero visibility. And the other factor that we're dealing with is we're having erratic winds up to 45, 50 miles an hour. And they're flying in these steep, narrow canyons. And at times we've had to ground our aircraft. That being said, fires are put out by men and women on the ground with tools in their hand, shovels, Pulaskis, chainsaws, scraping the soil, moving the vegetation. Bottom line is, it's men and women on the ground that will eventually put this fire out.
Is part of the strategy on the ground also to set backfires to clear vegetation so that there's less fuel for the wildfire?
Yes. We call it firing out. When we fire out, think of a football field full of very high grass. If we were to go to the end zone of that football field and burn out just that strip of grass and then put a bulldozer line in front of that, we will have created an area where fire can't burn. So when the fire hits that black dead zone, and it just goes out. But because of the erratic winds and the incredibly strong winds that we're faced with here, and they're changing two or three times a day, the embers are blowing beyond the areas that we're creating for our safe zones and blowing past our lines. And one of the things that we've been faced with is we are producing such a giant thermal column that it rises up into the atmosphere at 30, 40,000 feet. And when it hits a certain height around 30,000 feet, it forms an anvil or an ice cap. And when that cloud of superheated air gets cooled off enough, it becomes heavy and it collapses. When that happens, it creates 360-degree wind conditions on the ground that are just explosive, like a microburst.
Mr. Wilkins, when the firefighters come in and talk about what they've seen and the conditions out there, what are they telling you and what are they saying about their own safety?
Well, you know, firefighters are a pretty neat bunch. When they describe things, if they use words like never seen anything like it or it's a monster or things like that, you kind of got to listen because it takes a lot to impress them. The talk I'm getting at the mess hall and the chow line and stuff is this is one incredibly difficult fire to fight.
Well, Jim Wilkins, thanks for taking time out to talk with us today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Jim Wilkins is a public information officer for the firefighting effort in Springerville, Arizona.